Democratic State Representative Sam Singh of East Lansing sits on the House Appropriations Committee and Education Appropriations Subcommittees, and we welcome back the first-termer to current state to get his thoughts on, oh my goodness, let's see here, education, Blue Cross Blue Shield, sequestration, and the list goes on and on. How are you, Sam? Good to see you.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me back.
Good. I'm just learning about a new higher education bill that includes sanctions for new union contracts involving teachers and faculty. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. And this is the strange part of being in this process. I've been on the subcommittee. We've been discussing this. I did not receive this bill until 8 o'clock this morning. I've been waiting to be able to see it. As you know, I have a committee meeting at 10:30 this morning, which I'm now supposed to react to this bill, put forward amendments. And again, it's the kind of games that get played at the state capitol, unfortunately.
Okay.
This information was available. They probably could have given it to us at the end of last week, but because they want to give it at the last minute, it creates this kind of tension and unfortunate. But you're absolutely right. We've got this bill dropped that would cut 15% of any university that didn't meet their funding formula for employee contract funding. And this could be even contracts that have already been dealt with, who this hasn't even gone to the full Appropriations Committee nor been voted on by the legislature. They would be going retroactive and hurting institutions. So we heard testimony last week from Wayne State University, which their new contract actually saves the taxpayers $10 million. They have the potential of losing $27 million if this new budget goes through the way the Republicans have dealt with it. It's shocking, and it's not good policy, and it's not good for us positioning ourselves in a global economy.
Whose measure is it? Do you know?
Well, it's being presented today by the chair, Representative Al Pashoka, but my understanding is that this has been a leadership conversation by the Republican Party in the State House.
And he is on the House Education Committee, correct?
He's the chairman of the House Subcommittee of Higher Education.
Okay.
And so this was the material I received again at 8 o'clock today, cutting every institution by 15% if they don't meet these arbitrary employee contract funding rules that have just been dropped by the chairman today.
And do you? And this is all unfolding so quickly here as we speak. Are you aware of any response from Michigan State University?
Well, my understanding is that Michigan State University did not have any contracts that were being looked at this point in time. Again, this goes back to the right to work conversation from last year. Those employee contracts have until March 27th to be dealt with. And my understanding is that Michigan State did not have any contracts. It was really Wayne State and the University of Michigan. But that's two of our three research institutions, our top-tier institutions that could be receiving a 15% cut on top of the 15% cut that the governor gave them 2 years before. This isn't good policy. This isn't positioning these institutions to be the global leaders that they're supposed to be.
And this also puts the issue of legislative process back in front of everybody, not that far on the heels of right to work.
Right. And again, it's unfortunate. Again, if these universities are actually saving money, they're in actually a very strong position to be bargaining with their unions. They actually have an upper hand as management to be actually getting these concessions. Wayne State got a number of great concessions according to management. They got $10 million of health care savings. They got lower costs of raises over the years. They also got teacher tenure. So if a faculty member wasn't doing a good job, it's easier for them to remove them. Again, these are reforms that have been asked for by the Republican Party for years. They're being instituted, but now they're going to be penalized because it might extend a contract a little bit longer for some of those unions.
Okay. And you sit on this committee with Representative Pashoka?
I do. I'm the vice chair representing the Democratic Party.
Okay. All right. We will keep our eyes on that today. We haven't spoken since, speaking of education, we haven't spoken since Gretchen Whitmer and other members of your party announced that the Michigan 2020 plan is the Democrats' highest legislative priority this year. This would fund some college for every Michigan High School graduate. How much discussion is there of this at the Capitol, and what's the tone of that discussion?
You know, unfortunately, there's not enough conversation happening about this. Again, this is being led by the Senate and by Senator Whitmer. It's a reintroduction of the conversation they started last term. And it's good policy for the state of Michigan. Again, the states that are most successful in a global economy have educated people with bachelor's and master's degrees. Right now, as you've seen, the cost of tuition go up over the past decade. The state involvement, again, 2 years ago, we cut 15%. So again, tuition has been going up year after year. And for us to be able to help our young people get those degrees that they need to be positioned in a global economy, you need to be bold. And this program is bold. I know that there's another program on the House side that Representative Andy Schor introduced that would be providing loan forgiveness for those who graduate and so forth. So there's a number of these types of conversations. But again, the states as well as the countries that have the most educated workforce are going to be the most successful in the global economy. So we should be talking about this. And unfortunately, that's not the conversations we're having. We're going back to what we talked about earlier, making cuts because groups have extended a contract with one of their employee groups.
What's intrigued me about the Michigan 2020 plan from the get-go, and this goes back a year, almost a year and a half ago now, with conversations I had with Gretchen Whitmer, is the method for funding this. This would rely on a consensus elimination of tax breaks to come up with, I believe, $1.8 billion to cover all of these things. What's your understanding of how that, are you far enough into it to comment on that consensus elimination of tax breaks to pay for this?
Well, again, you know, that I think is about a 10% cut of the $3.5 billion worth of tax breaks that are and tax loopholes that the senator has talked about reducing. Again, we should be having these conversations. Unfortunately, the Republicans are not more talking about how we make cuts to these budgets versus about how we expand the opportunity for our students to attend the university. So I think, unfortunately, where I've seen this go is absolutely nowhere. It's a good idea. It's a good policy. We should be debating this. And unfortunately, we've not seen that.
The Blue Cross Blue Shield has been on the table here for quite some time. The governor just signed the measure into law yesterday. Were you a supporter of that measure? Were you a supporter of the measure that cleared the House?
The measure that cleared the House that finally got ratification, I did support. Over the period of time, I had some strong concerns. There was a set of dollars and resources that Blue Cross Blue Shield, because of the type of corporation it was prior to these changes, was paying for Medigap coverage for seniors. What we did in the compromise bill was fully fund that Medigap coverage for 4 years, and then there's a trailing amount of dollars and resources beyond that. What I've said to my colleagues, the challenge for me over the next 4 years is to help find how we deal with that Medigap coverage in the future. So I think there was some, you know, strong desire to help make the transition for Blue Cross Blue Shield into this nonprofit mutual. They're now paying significant taxes to the state of Michigan. It actually levels the playing field for a number of insurance companies. And so we saw these things as being positive. The most specific thing was that it was going to reduce some funding that was going to seniors. We were able to get 4 years of that funding covered. But from this point on, we have to find additional resources to make sure that we keep the senior citizens who are relying on this coverage whole.
So you heard the criticism of that policy, of this concern over seniors, but you're confident that that can be addressed after 4 years.
Well, again, when you look at what was passed last cycle, it didn't have these same protections and the same level of support. The reason I came to the support was that we provided a pathway for funding for 4 years. And now, again, it's the task for me and all the legislators and the governor to find additional resources. Now, we have new Medicaid expansion conversations that are happening right now that free up some dollars. And I'm hopeful that we can look at some of those things as we move forward. But it's definitely a conversation that we have to look at in earnest.
We're talking with East Lansing State Representative Sam Singh. You and Lansing Representative Andy Schor are speaking up tomorrow about the impact of sequestration. This seems to have been fairly murky. Everyone has needed some time to sort out just exactly what the impact of sequestration will be on mid-Michigan. How closely have you looked at this?
Well, we've been looking at it, and again, you know, it all depends on what actually transpires over the next few months. If nothing happens, where there's just complete cuts, you know, we're going to see a significant impact to things across the country. Specifically, I've been looking at it because I'm also on the Department of Education budget for appropriations, and we will lose 2,300 students who would be in Head Start. We would lose 900 families who had access to childcare. You'd have hundreds of teachers laid off because of these resources, and special ed funding that comes from the federal government would be reduced as well. Again, there is hope if Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. can actually have a serious conversation. And so what we're trying to do is put a spotlight on this to say, listen, we understand that there's a lot of political games that are happening in Washington, D.C., but our local communities will suffer because of this. We're asking them to come together, work together, and make sure that we keep our communities whole. Make sure that we don't have these education cuts. Make sure that some of the other cuts that are coming to our communities, to mental health services and so forth that will be coming through here, don't actually happen. And I think there's a way that they can do that, both by making cuts, but also as taking a look at reducing some corporate loopholes.
Do you fear an impact on mental health services particularly?
Well, I think that is one of the things that is being looked at as potential cuts that could be coming to the state of Michigan. Again, you know, part of what the governor had talked about as part of his reason to do Medicaid expansion was to actually help redefine our mental health services. Unfortunately, both games in Washington, D.C. could be hurting that, but then also the games here at our state capitol. You might remember a few weeks ago, the state house passed the state federal partnership exchange for the Affordable Care Act. Right now, it's lingering in the Senate, and some people have said that it won't move. Again, this was going to bring hundreds of millions of people, new opportunities. I think it was a total of 400 million people would have access to health care that don't have it right now. And it's unfortunate that these political games, both on a national level, but we're also seeing it here at the Lansing State Capitol, are impacting good policy and helping our people that are in most of need.
Anything to say, pardon me, anything to say about a Democratic candidate in the 23rd Senate District?
I think there's a lot of people looking at that seat. I'm not one of those people looking at running for that seat at this point in time. I'm quite comfortable being in the state house, but I know that there's a number of people who are looking at it.
A new Main Street Strategies poll shows Congressman Gary Peters, who was on our show last week, enjoys a double-digit lead among Democrats for Michigan's U.S. Senate seat to be determined next year. Peters got 25% of the vote. Congressman Bart Stupak came in second with 12%. Debbie Dingell and Mark Schauer are tied for third with 9%, but 45% are still undecided. Any response to how that is playing out?
Well, I think from a state perspective, obviously you just asked me about my state senator, and so that's been a lot of conversation over the last few weeks. But obviously since Senator Carl Levin made his decision to retire, that's been the conversation in Democratic circles across the state. Everywhere I go, people are asking who's positioning themselves for that. I do think Congressman Gary Peters is probably the best suited for that, you know, coming off of a very strong couple victories in the House, having legislative experience, having kind of the fundraising experience, and I think having the ability to campaign in a very tough race. I think he brings independents and even some leaning conservatives to his base, and I think you saw that in that poll. And so I'd be surprised if our candidate come next year for U.S. Senate isn't Gary Peters.
Is that right? Okay. Any thoughts? Who does that leave for governor then?
Well, I think there's a number of great candidates out there, a number of former congressional members, people like Mark Schauer, Congressman Bart Stupak's name is out there. I think some of the names you've mentioned for U.S. Senate are other names. And I think, again, it's still early. I think by the summertime, we'll be more clear with gubernatorial candidates, and that's about the right time where we need to be taking a look at the 2014 election.
Our guest has been East Lansing State Representative Sam Singh. Tomorrow, he and Lansing State Rep Andy Shore gather to talk about the impact of sequestration at the Capitol at 9:30. Sam, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.